Romans 5:9, we shall be saved from indignation through him. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, Christ our rescuer out of the coming indignation. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, we are not appointed to indignation. And there is indignation coming upon this earth. That is what the book of Revelation is all about. That and the introduction into the kingdom. This is Martin Zender. The introduction into the kingdom of God, I remind you, comes through great birth pangs. And I haven't said this in a while. I need to say it again every once in a while. I need to make a show like this. The world is all about religion and politics. It's the two things you're not supposed to argue about. And yet, it is the two things that Revelation is all about, religion and politics. The kingdom is religion and politics. The kingdom of God, because we have a priest and a king. Priest is religion, king is politics. The problem is the earth today has its own priests and its own kings. These are falsifications of the true. More so in the case of priests than kings. We find in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, that the kings of this earth have been appointed by God. But the priests, oh no, that's another matter. The priests are the worst enemies of God, not the kings. And when Jesus was on earth, he did not rail against the Romans, he railed against the priesthood. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious ruling class. It's the same today. In order for the kingdom of Christ to come upon earth, Christ is going to have to clear the earth of its religion and politics. And that's exactly what's going to happen in the tribulation. And the book of Revelation details it both from the point of religion and politics. Politics first, then religion. There's a throne section in the first chapters of Revelation, chapters like 3 through 11. From chapters 11 on, it's the temple section. The throne section deals with the political redemption of the earth. The throne section deals with the spiritual redemption of the earth. I haven't told you this in a while. There are new people watching. I need to say this. The coming indignation is real, and it's God clearing the table of this earth of the enemies, his enemies. And his enemies are found in the churches. His religious enemies are found in the churches. Yes, he has political enemies too. The judgments, the death, the killing is going to rid the earth of man's religion and politics. It's not going to be a gradual, as I've said many times, but I need to say it again, it's not going to be a gradual reformation. It's going to be sudden. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be quick. Surgical strikes. Boom. Boom. Strikes of God by supernatural beings. I said yesterday something shocking, talking about my friend who warned her friend that church was a dangerous place to be in. It seems so ridiculous. How can you say that? It's the calm before the storm. You do not want to be in man-made institutions of religion when this stuff comes down. You simply don't want to be there. Everybody felt safe on the Titanic, didn't they? They felt perfectly safe there. That was the deception of the Titanic, is that people didn't want to get on the lifeboats because they couldn't imagine that this lifeboat that was being lowered by chains down the side of the Titanic, that was a long fall, ladies and gentlemen. If that lifeboat broke, or if you fell out of the lifeboat, you fell to your death. The Titanic was like 6 stories high. I don't know. It was high up there. And the deception of the Titanic was how good it felt when you were on it. Even when you knew it was sinking, intellectually you might know it's sinking, but you just feel so safe, and plus everybody else is on it. Everybody else is there. The band is still playing. In church, the band is still playing. All your friends are still there, but this thing is slated for destruction, and the people in it are slated to die. They will be killed by supernatural means during the tribulation. I'm as dead serious as I can be. Wholesale killing. This is why my friend's instinct, or spiritual instinct, was so good. I don't know if she had scriptural recourse for her friend, but her instincts were correct. I think later she found scriptural backup for this. And we find it in the book of Daniel and in the book of Revelation, especially the book of Revelation, when the messengers are unleashed at the river Euphrates and they go about to kill a third of humanity. And we find this in the religious section, the throne section of the unveiling. It's in the throne section where we see the religious, the spiritual redemption of the earth, redeemed from the stronghold of human beings. The most dangerous place you can be is in a church. It's no joke. I talked about this back when I talked about the four messengers bound at the river Euphrates who unleashed the 200 million cavalry, supernatural beings that kill a third of humanity. Listen to this. This is from A.E. Nock on page 288 of The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. Comparatively few of humanity do not worship demons under some form or another. Comparatively few. How can I say that? You say, Martin, I don't know anyone who worships demons. Listen, comparatively few of humanity do not worship demons under some form or another. And I remind you, via 2 Corinthians, I don't know if it's chapter 11 or 12, that demons today are disguised as messengers of light, messengers of righteousness. And Satan's messengers pose as messengers of Christ. Where else are you going to find a messenger of Christ using the name of Christ and in a Christian church? The Christian church is the most dangerous of all churches. Mosques are not as dangerous. Buddhist temples are not as dangerous. Wherever the Hindus go to pray, it's not as dangerous. Spiritism, in the purest form of approach to the unseen world. That's what Spiritism is. It's an approach to the unseen world. And the mass of humanity bow down to demons. Listen to this. Instead of giving God the glory which is His due. This is the epidemic in Christianity. They do not give God the glory that is His due. They do not worship Him or recognize Him as the sovereign of the universe. They think He gave away His free will. At one time, He was the only free will in the universe. Then He gave it away to everybody. Now everybody has a free will, and now the best God can do is hope that everybody exercises their free will in accord with what He wants or hopes will happen, which is that people will love Him and worship Him, but He can't force Himself on them because they have a free will. This is a removal of the sovereign of the universe off His throne, and substituted for this is the worship of demons, because it is demons who have injected the false teachings I'm talking about into humanity, the false teaching of free will, and not giving God the glory that is His due, and worse, taking the name of God, the name of Christ. They take His name in vain. Taking God's name in vain or Christ's name in vain has nothing to do with saying goddamn or Jesus Christ. It has to do with calling yourself a Christian, taking Christ's name, but in vain. It's useless because it's not going to serve you well. It's going to serve you ill because you have presumed to call yourself by His name, and yet you don't know Him. And instead of worshiping Him, you worship instead the dictates and the doctrines of humans and the doctrines of demons, like eternal torment and free will, which takes God off His throne. Forget the theological concept. I don't care about theological concepts. I care about truth. The truth is that God is the one in control of everything. God called you. You didn't call Him. God chose you. You didn't choose Him. God gives you life and breath and your very existence. And wherever this is denied, it is substituted with demon worship. Oh, but they don't look like demons. I know. They don't act like demons. I know. Because today they're acting as messengers of righteousness. And they're cloaked. They're disguised as bright lights, as wisdom. And it feels good and it looks good and it seems like the safest place you can be. But I am telling you, and I'm a herald, I'm putting out this truth that religious institutions today, especially the Christian one, are the most dangerous places to be. But Martin, I just want my children to learn about God. Then get them the hell out of church. You're sending your children into a den of demons? Why? Because you don't know. I understand you're ignorant of it. This is why you need to cut and paste this message and send it to your loved ones in the church. Jesus Christ, I remind you, He went after the religious hierarchy. He was not concerned with the world. And this is where Christianity has it all wrong. He wasn't then concerned with the world. Christianity thinks their biggest enemy is the world and all these worldly people who do things like drink alcohol and say bad words and they don't go to church and they listen to rock and roll music or heavy metal music. The church people think that these are the enemies of God and Christ. But in fact, these people who they think are the enemies are actually closer to God than they are because of this sheen, this protection of self-righteousness that, well, we're the people. That's what the Pharisees thought. We're the people. And I'm telling you, this condition comes down to the present day. We have a new class of Pharisees. That's it. Only the names have changed, folks. It's still the same set of religious hypocrites. And those are the ones Jesus went after. Those are the ones Paul went after. And those are the ones who went after Paul. Who was Paul persecuted by? The Jews. He was actually saved by the Romans in Jerusalem when they tried to rend Paul limb from limb after he testified at the steps of the Praetorium. And he was rescued by the Romans. The Jews were ready to tear him to pieces because religious people will always do that. And they're worshiping demons, literally. They're literally worshiping demons, and they're literally going to be killed by the plagues of the unveiling. And I'm talking about people you know. This is why I said yesterday that this message of the grace of God, once you apprehend it, and I'm putting it forward to you today, that your salvation is based solely on the death of Christ for your sin, the death of Christ. Christ entered the death state in order to conquer death. Death is an enemy. Death will separate you for eternity from God apart from something else. Talk about a default setting. I've talked about that before. Christians say your default setting is that you're a sinner born for the fires of hell unless you get out of it. No, your default setting is eternal death. It's just separation from God. There's no eternal torture or anything, but death is the common lot of humanity. Christ is our deliverer from death. He does it for all eventually because he's the answer to Adam. Adam takes everybody down in condemnation, death. Christ brings everybody back. That's eventually. Right now, there's a message going out to bring people into the truth early. Those who do not come early will have... It's actually coming easy. Those who don't come easy will come hard during the tribulation. Some will be killed. I'm talking about people you know. This is no joke. You need to get my book, The First Idiot in Heaven. It really puts all of this in a nutshell. Write to Charles Rutsch. Charles Rutsch, R-U-T-S-C-H, @gmail.com. And order, say, I want copies of Martin Zender's book, The First Idiot in Heaven, because I need it. I need to give it to my family members. I need to give it to my sons, to my daughters, to my parents. I need to give it to my friends because I want them to know this truth, because I don't want them. We're not talking about eternal torment here. We're talking about torment on the earth that's going to last in its most concentrated form for 3.5 years. The religious organizations of the world are the most prolific breeding places of sin. I'm going to read that again. The religious organizations of the world are the most prolific breeding places of sin. I have said this for years. And it is the heads of the only divine religion sanctioned by God, that is Judaism, it is the heads of that religion who were guilty of the most heinous of all crimes, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You want to talk about sins? You want to talk about crimes? The greatest one ever perpetrated on this planet was the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And who is it done by? The Jews, religious people. Not the Roman governor. No, but the Jewish chief priest, they crucified Christ. It's a cult of demons. It is demons infecting the minds of people into a group think that feels safe when it's with other people. It feels protected. It feels good because it has the confirmation of its fellow members. It's death. I'm still not done with this. Every now and then I need to do this. And I'm going to continue this tomorrow. I'm going to talk specifically again. I know we did this months ago. It might be a year ago now. I don't know. I have no conception of time. It might be a year ago, but I have not warned you lately of the coming indignation and the ark of salvation that God has built. And today, it's not made out of wood. It's made out of words. And the words are words of grace and peace. I remind you that we're so used to this era of grace. But this era of grace today, it's a window. It's a window. If you want to call it relatively, I'll say the window of opportunity. I use that word relatively. It's an acceptable day of salvation. I'll just say it that way. Those are the words of Scripture. This is an acceptable day of salvation. This window of Paul's gospel, the announcement of it, and the believing of it, this window is going to close. It opened at a certain time. This window did not open until the Apostle Paul, who was then Saul, was called on the road to Damascus. That opened a window into heaven, directly into God's heart. Heart of love and grace and peace. And this was given to Saul, who then became Paul in Acts chapter 13. And in Acts chapter 13, early in his ministry, he begins to tell this truth of justification from sin, of conciliation to God, that is, friendship resumed with your Creator. He's at peace with you. What does it take for you to be at peace with Him? You need to know that He's at peace with you. You need to know that your sins no longer stand against you. You need to know that you could do nothing. You are locked up in sin and stubbornness. God is locked up altogether in stubbornness. There is no one righteous. No, not one. Not one is seeking God. The only way you can seek God is if God invades your world and gives you faith. And this is what I pray for today for you. We're still supposed to ask for it and pray for it. Paul says pray for a spirit of wisdom and realization. And Paul sent out his friends to announce this gospel because faith comes by hearing. Hearing by a declaration of God. But how can anybody hear unless one is sent? And how can anyone be sent unless God sends them? So I happen to be the sent one today, telling you of an evangel, of a gospel, of a message, a well message. That's what the word means, of peace. And I'm here also as a spokesman in the final days of this eon. And I would be remiss if I did not warn you of the coming indignation. I feel like Noah, who was building the boat when everything was fine. Yeah, I know everything's fine. Or maybe it's not. Or maybe it's not fine. Maybe you see that the world's falling apart. Maybe you understand that this Titanic has sustained a fatal blow and it is on its way to the bottom of the ocean. There's a lifeboat. There's an ark. You don't have to die for the eon. You don't have to be in oblivion during the thousand-year kingdom. You don't have to wait, quote-unquote, until the great white throne to rise and be judged. You don't have to wait for that. But what you do have to do is forsake the teachings of humans, forsake the fast food religion that paints the outside of the tomb white, gives you nice programs to attend, plays beautiful music for you, and sends you preachers who teach in accord with your own desires, who pet you, make you feel good about yourself. And they do not herald Christ. They do not herald Christ crucified, because that's an unpopular message. They'll talk it, but they won't play it. They talk a good game of grace. They cannot play grace. It's a den of hypocrisy, just like it was in Jesus' day. Only the names have changed. They're teasing you with salvation. Then they're putting all the responsibility for that salvation upon you. As if you, a weak human, dying in Adam, who is locked up in sin and condemnation and death, Romans 11:32, who has no ability within yourself to even call out to God for the rescue, as if anyone like that could save themselves. No, David said that salvation by a human is futile, and it is. Salvation comes by one, capital O, Jesus Christ, who entered the death state. He died. the person, the man, Christ Jesus died, not just his body. No, he loved the world so much that he gave his life. It wasn't pretend, it was real. And he did it for a reason. Didn't just do it. He did it for the sin of the world. And now our confidence is no longer in us, no longer in yourself, but it's in him. And if you believe this today, then it is a gift of God. It has been graciously granted to you, Philippians 1:29, not only to be believing in him, but to be suffering for his sake also. I don't want you to be afraid of suffering now, because suffering now, when you believe this message, is actually a token of divine favor, because God, through discipline, is preparing you for your future role. It is much better to suffer now under that contract, if you will, than to suffer later when the indignation of God reveals itself from heaven.